Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Atlanta Falcons steal the headlines in round one. Perloff, they shockingly decide to go with Michael Penix Jr. with the eighth pick, even though about 6 weeks ago they promised $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins. We talk about how important the quarterback position is in the NFL. The Falcons are really putting their money where their mouth is.
Maggie, I can't believe you think the Atlanta Falcons don't know what they're doing. Just, I'm shocked at this.
We will figure out the meaning of life before we figure out the Falcons draft strategy, but we need the thoughts of an expert, and that is Michael Lombardi, of course, former general manager, now does a great job on the GM Shuffle podcast, is writing books about how to build NFL teams. He's the first person we go to when we have questions about team building. Michael, thanks so much for waking up early for us today. How are you?
Oh, it's my pleasure. No problem. I mean, we're going to send a bunch of MIT students to figure out the Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot and Kaiser Sose McKay and figure out their strategy here, because, you know, when the winningest coach in NFL history, six Super Bowls, and second on the all-time win list, doesn't make your top three in your interview process, you know you're a class above everybody else. You've got to know that.
Dripping with sarcasm, Michael, we understand it because, well, I said this is the brilliant move from the Falcons front office if you want to keep your job. You've got the quarterback for now, which is Cousins, and then you got the quarterback for the future, which is Penix. But seriously, do you see any strategy behind this move? Is this actually a good idea if Penix is that good and you're that convinced? Do you just take him and figure out the Kirk Cousins part next year?
Well, this is, to me, like somebody who has one Rolex and then decides with very little money in their bank account to buy another Rolex. How many can you wear, right? How many are you going to wear? Two a day? You going to change? Look, this is not about Michael Penix, because I like Michael Penix. This is about the second year in a row the Falcons have used the eighth pick overall in the draft to buy a luxury item. Look, no one's going to argue Bijan Robinson's not a good player. Although no one's going to also mention to you and to the general public that Algier had a better rushing season the year before than Robinson did last year. And so they double up on the running back when they had Algier, who was a 1,000-yard rusher and averaged over 5 yards a carry. And then this year they come back after giving $90 million guaranteed on a three-year contract that they're no escaping. And let's not forget this. I don't know if they mentioned it on any of the Worldwide Leader programming last night, but Cousins has a no-trade clause in his contract. So it's not like you can sit there and say, oh, let's go do this and let's go do that. You know, the fact is they signed a quarterback with an Achilles coming off an Achilles. They gave him $90 million. If they were unsure whether he could play or not, then why did you give him the $90 million? And look, I think there's no doubt that, you know, this doesn't save anybody's job, because the expectations on the Falcons, since they blatantly rejected Belichick and then had that article with Seth Wickersham sticking their chest out on how proud they were, I think it puts a lot of pressure on them. Because if you're an Atlanta Falcon fan, you got to be asking yourself the question, what are we doing? Now, here's what I do know. I think the Falcons, under the direction of Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot, 21 wins in three seasons, I truly believe that they think their team's way better than it is. I think they just think they're a quarterback away. And that's a complete miscalculation. The hardest position to find in pro football, the hardest one besides quarterback, is a three technique. A three technique that can rush the passer, a three technique that's disruptive inside, a three technique that the offense has to turn the protection towards. And in 2 years in a row, the brilliance of the Falcons have passed one that was 40 miles away at Georgia, Jalen Carter, and the other one, Murphy at Texas, who was, you know, just sitting there waiting for them to take him.
In this kind of situation, with your past experience, like, how much sign off do you need from the owner? Is Arthur Blank ultimately responsible for this, or is it the people in
Great
his ear?
Great question, Andrew. See, this is the job of an owner. Okay, this is really the job of an owner. John York sat in the draft room and said to Kyle Shanahan, and did exactly what great owners do. They said, if you like Purdy this much, why are you debating picking him in the seventh round? They asked that question. The job of an owner is not to tell you what to do. The job of the owner is to challenge what you do. So, like, I would have loved to have been in the meeting when the GM winning GM Terry Fontenot comes in and says, I want to draft Michael Penix. And then he says, well, we just gave $90 million to Kirk Cousins. Explain to me how this is going to work. Explain to me when he's going to play without an injury. Explain to me how you visualize the future of the franchise. There's really no answer on that. There really is no answer. Well, we're protected. That's the only answer. See, this is where great owners ask great questions. That's the job of the owner. The job of the owner is to challenge the people in charge. Donnie Walsh told me that back in the early 90s when I spent time with him when he was at the Indiana Pacers. He had complete control over the Pacer organization, but he had to tell the Simon brothers what he was going to do. And through those conversations with telling him what he wanted to do, he found out his own answer. And this is where Arthur Blank is just being led blindly. Now, let's not confuse that Kaiser Soze McKay is not involved, because even though he says he's not, he's been involved his entire life. And they're 169 and 170 over his reign of running the Falcons. And so he obviously had to know that this was going on.
Michael Lombardi is joining us, of course, former GM, GM Shuffle podcast, does with Femi Abebefe, who we love, also the Daily Coach, got a book out, Football Done Right, waking up early with us here to recap the first round of the NFL draft. Michael, in your opinion, which quarterback of the six that were taken in the top 12 picks, which one landed in the best spot?
I think, here's where I think we really have a problem with the draft, okay? And again, my critique of Atlanta is about the function and team building. It's not about Michael Penix. You know, people get so enamored with their own evaluation. Sean Payton really knows what he's doing at quarterback. Okay, when he was in Dallas, he wanted to draft Tony Romo. They got him as a free agent. He wanted Patrick Mahomes at the 11th pick of the draft, and the Chiefs came up and got him at 10. I mean, the guy knows he took Drew Brees and made Drew Brees better than. See, people forget Drew Brees when he was in San Diego. You know, he got benched for Doug Flutie. You know, and then he had the great year, and then he hurt his shoulder. John Lynch tackled him and hurt his shoulder, and the next thing you know, he was a free agent. So, like, Peyton knows a quarterback. He understands what he wants. He understands what fits his system. There's nobody who's giving out grades today that really understands Sean Payton's system of offense and what he's asking the quarterback to do. So all those grades are irrelevant, right? They're irrelevant. Do I think, but would I have taken Bo Nix as a general manager alone? No. But if I was sitting next to Sean Payton and he was telling me, well, I know what he wants and what he thinks, then certainly that's appealing because he's going to develop the quarterback. Remember, this is not about where they get picked. This is about how they play. And so I think we get way too critical because everybody grades off of their grading sheet. Everybody grades off of their evaluation. Mm-hmm. What makes their evaluation right and the team's wrong? You know, so I think you have to give it time. Look, I think Drake May is going to be a project. I really do. I think Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator in New England, is going to have his work cut out for him because he's raw. He's not going to play next year, right? I think Cliff Kingsbury's got his work cut out for him to get Jaden Daniels to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Jaden Daniels is really good at running with the football. He never makes a second play. The only player other than Caleb Williams in this draft that was extend plays and make plays was Bo Nix, if you watch the tape honestly. But people have their minds made up, right? That's why everybody said there's no way there's going to be six quarterbacks picked in the draft, because they had their minds made up, because they've been reading all these stupid mock drafts that have no really understanding of what goes on in the NFL.
Michael, so Bill Belichick got a lot of praise last night for TV. I think Maggie was a big fan of his honest.
Shocking. Yeah. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, you know, it's a, you know, I mean, let's face it. The guy's a dinosaur. He probably was talking about Pop Warner.
Yeah. Well, not top three candidates in Atlanta. That says it all.
But no, we know that.
What if he's so good at this at TV that he actually doesn't want to go back to coaching? Because I had seen before, and I've heard you say that he might be interested in coming back. It seems like he's a hit.
Well, I think, look, his football knowledge is second to nobody. Now, it's not second to Kaiser Soze McKay or Super Bowl winning GM Fontenot. We know that. Can you imagine that those two interviewed him? It would be like me going to Harvard and starting to interview doctors. Like, seriously. You know? But I think he's, you know, his knowledge is better than anybody. Look, I've been around some great people, great coaches. I've been privileged and honored to serve by some of the greatest of the greats. And I say this really humbly. And everything that I've written and every book that I've written, I haven't developed myself. And there's no one equal to Belichick. You can ask any NFL coach. You know, it's just like the stupid Dynasty infomercial that the Krafts produced on Apple. I mean, that's an infomercial, you know, and they try to discredit the man that basically, you know, won six Super Bowls for them. You know, in the three Super Bowl winnings, they beat three teams that scored over 500 points. Was Robert Kraft developing that defense? I don't know. I'm confused. I didn't know that. So I think, to me, there's been this perception of Bill that is really unfair because he can't win without Brady, and that manifests itself going forward. When Don Shula went 4 years with the great Dan Marino and didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I what I loved about Belichick last night with him on McAfee is we actually got some honest analysis of these players, and he was using film to back it up. So it's not just here's all their top 10 best throws, this guy's going to be the next, you know, Peyton Manning. It was here's the bad throws. Here's what you're talking about when you're saying, hey, you're not going to get any more open than this in the NFL, or here's where you could have done something better. You got a little insight of what it was probably like on a Monday morning walking into the facility in New England, but it added a lot of credibility to it. We're talking with Michael Lombardi. Like, Belichick needs more credibility, but we're talking with Michael Lombardi, former GM, worked with Belichick. And you work with Al Davis too, Michael, for a long time. And I don't know if Al Davis was into trading with his rivals. It feels like that's something that Davis wouldn't do. I'm a Bills fan. I'm incensed that they trade with the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of the first round and handed Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes a weapon like Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Do I have a right to be upset today?
Well, you're right, Maggie. He would never do that. There was an unwritten rule. Not an unwritten rule. There was a written rule. We would never trade with any AFC East or West opponent, and we would never trade with anybody on our schedule. But what I think this demonstrates to you is that Buffalo didn't think Worthy was a good enough player to fit to be their third receiver. I think that's what it clearly says, screams to you that, you know, that they were more than willing. They knew the Chiefs were coming up to get Worthy. They knew that. They just didn't feel like he was the right fit. And I think there's so much pressure on Buffalo this year, really. I mean, Buffalo took a tremendous amount of hits in their offseason program in terms of the free agency they've lost. And, you know, they're going to be a 12-team, one back, two tight ends because of Kincaid and because of Dawson Knox, but to me, you know, they clearly told you their evaluation of Worthy wasn't a first round pick. They didn't mind going to him. Al would have never done that. And speaking of Al would have never, ever, 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 ever. You know, I love when the Raiders say the Raider way, the Raider way, the Raider way. Okay, this is the biggest comedy of all time. They preach about it all the time. No, the Raider way. They took a tight end in the first round over a defensive tackle, Brian Murphy, the three technique. Yep. There's no chance, there is zero chance, that Al Davis would have passed a defensive lineman, whether it would have been Latua or whether it would have been Murphy, to take a tight end who would be the second tight end who's going to be at F, and they have no offensive lineman who can block.
Unbelievable. And what are they doing at quarterback? Are they settled there?
Well, they signed Gardner Minshew. I mean, I think obviously, and Antonio Pierce said he's earned the right to be the starter. I don't know if Antonio was at the game where they didn't score any points against Minnesota. I'm not sure if he was there, but I don't know how you earn the right to be the starter when you can't make a play in a passing game.
I want to ask about two teams. The defensive players fell. The Eagles got their cornerback, and the Lions got a cornerback. Feels like that they, I don't know if the word lucky is right, but feels like they did very well.
No, I think the Eagles did really good. I mean, I was promoting for the Eagles to trade up to get Mitchell. Mitchell was the best cover corner in the draft. And Howie gets him at 22 and didn't have to give up an asset to get him. I think it's a great pick. You know, I wasn't in love with Arnold as much because here's why. I think some of the things you have to do when you watch tape is you've got to break down what the team is doing, right? And so Nick Saban loves to play man-to-man. He's a huge man-to-man guy. Well, this year in Alabama, he played less man-to-man than he's ever played in his life, which tells you he didn't believe he had corners to play man-to-man. And so that made me always a little bit worried about Arnold. Is he really a top man-to-man corner? But I think in the Detroit scheme, the way they play, I think he can certainly function, and I think it's a good pick for Detroit to get him. I'm not saying he's going to be a shutdown corner, especially where they picked him down at 28. So, but there's no question that I think those teams – look, I think Seattle hit a home run. I think the Colts hit a home run. Make it, the Bears, how many more receivers do you need? You're paying Keenan Allen. You're paying DJ Moore. And now you draft Adunze. How many plays can Adunze play next year? Unless you're committed to being an 11 personnel team the whole time. See, no one asked that question. How many plays will this player play? Michael Penix will play zero. So you're getting nothing out of him. How many plays will Adunze play? How many plays will Brock Bowers play in 12 personnel if Michael Myers is going to be playing on the line? Like, see, you got to get some production. Whereas we know Latua, if he's healthy, he's going to play 1,200 plays next year. We know if Byron Murphy's going to play 1,200 plays next year, and they're going to be really good plays. They're going to be players that impact. Mitchell's going to play a ton of plays for the Eagles, and he's going to be a four-down player because he's going to play in the kicking game. So that's how you have to look at it. And I think some of these teams that, you know, we've gotten caught up in Twitter with the great, you know, Dan Orlovsky goes on TV and starts talking about there's only been three misses in the first round since 2018 at wide receiver. And then all of a sudden he starts leveling off. Well, Henry Ruggs was a problem. Well, has he ever gone and talked to an owner about when the guy gets basically run out of football because of his off-the-field character? That's not a fun conversation to have, trust me. I can promise you. So, like, drafting receivers is a 27% success rate in the National Football League. And you do that when you have a huge glaring need at three technique for the Bears. You know, look, I think they had a chance to really improve their defense. Because if you have a rookie quarterback, you better have a really good defense. And what's so shocking is we just witnessed the Kansas City Chiefs trade away Tyreek Hill and build their defense and win a Super Bowl because of their defense, and yet everybody's now back on the wide receiver train.
Real quick, I know you're watching the draft. How do I, as a Sixers fan, defend Joel Embiid grabbing a guy in the lower body? Because I'm getting killed here.
Not
right?
Defensible. Should have been ejected.
Hey, look, I'm a Sixer fan. You're talking to me.
I know. You know, I thought you would have a better excuse here that I can't come up with anything. I know you're a diehard.
For me, Embiid gets no excuse. Until he gets in shape, until he gets in conditioning shape, I think the guy's incredibly talented. But he's the only MVP in the history of the National Basketball Association that has won the MVP and hasn't gotten past the second round. So, like, I don't really want to hear that. You know, like, I can't make an excuse for him. It's going to be interesting if he gets suspended. He should get suspended for what that act was. You know, and with Robinson getting hurt last night, that really hurt them. And so that, look, to me, as a Sixer fan, the process was a joke. It was frustrating. What I admire is Sam Presti and what he did in Oklahoma, because that's truly what the process is. Because what we learned last night in the NFL, and we learned it in basketball, it takes talent to evaluate talent.
Love it.
Michael, thank you so much. Getting up early for us again. Michael Lombardi, you can listen to him on the GM Shuffle Pod. We're huge fans. Of course, the Daily Coach. He's got the book Football Done Right. And, of course, former GM and multiple Super Bowl rings. So thank you, Michael, for your expertise.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you. Thank
you
so much. Bye-bye.
You got a lot there. And I love Michael not pulling any punches with the Atlanta Falcons and what they've done and taking Michael Penix. And this is the big headline from day one of the draft. But, of course, we've got much more to get into, including we want to hear from you. 32 teams, 32 fan bases. How did you feel about what your team did last night? You already heard me rant and raving about the Bills. Perloff sitting pretty with his Eagles. We want to hear about you and your team. 855-212-4227. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I thought this was an interesting one from Adam Schefter this morning, Perloff, about the 49ers. So yesterday, before the draft started, there was a rumor or news started to leak out that the Patriots were trying hard to trade for Brandon Ayuk. Ended up not being true. Patriots take Drake May 3rd, and that was all we heard from the Patriots last night. But obviously, we know that Ayuk, and now we know that Deebo Samuel are both potentially on the trade block, so we'll see what happens today. Here's Adam Schefter. 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk texted GM John Lynch and head coach Kyle Shanahan moments after they selected his former Arizona teammate Ricky Pearsall with their first-round pick Thursday. The message was, fire pick, can't lie. So he understands that basically his replacement was just drafted, and I know he wants to get paid, obviously. I thought that was a funny sort of exchange after all the rumors yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny. So Mike Silver, who, you know, was an SI with me. Actually, I don't know if he was there with you. Anyway, he knows that the 49ers better than anyone. He said, look for Debo to get traded today, not Ayuk. So maybe they flip them. And then Debo's gone, who's already under contract. They keep Ayuk, re-sign Ayuk, and have Pearsall as number two. But it does make sense. You can't have Ayuk, Debo, and Pearsall. That's a lot of resources into wide receiver. Then you have George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. It's just a weirdly built team. So it seems like one of them will be on the way out. But Ricky Pearsall, I was surprised. I thought it was Ladd McConkey. Whatever. Who knows who's going to be better. But this is pretty cool because I think the Niners, I mean, they are just going to keep on churning out offense here. This is exciting.
Listen, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches, but they still have to also keep a little powder dry, so to speak, for Brock Purdy, who's probably going to get paid after next year. So Debo Samuel, I mean, if you're going to be trading him, it's probably a little less in terms of return because...
Ooh, I don't know, but you don't have to pay him, though.
Well, so he's got technically... I think in terms of guaranteed money, he's got one more year left. So there's a potential out after 2024 where you only escape with a $15 million dead cap hit. That's not nothing. But there's still some money left on this contract, but the cap hit is like $28.6 million this year. Yeah, and he did sign the $41 million guaranteed. A lot of that was the signing bonus. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, obviously, Ayuk wasn't good enough to get a first-round pick. We know that.
Yes.
So what are we talking about here? Future first? We talk about a second? I think maybe those guys go for a high second round pick, which is pretty valuable too. We'll see.
Without a doubt. We're asking you to weigh in today. It's about you. 32 fan bases, 32 opinion, 32 million opinions about what happened last night, but we want to hear what you think. Mike's in Alabama wants to talk about the Falcons, who shocked everyone by taking Michael Penix Jr. at 8. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. Hey, yeah, I've heard for the last month that with the acquisitions that the Falcons have received over the last month, you know, that this offense is really scary. And having all that said, I was thinking, okay, now let's shore up the defense and, shoot, we can make a run for the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, Michael Penix Jr. comes up, and I'm like, wow, okay, all right. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. It's confusing to me. But it's kind of reminiscent of another quarterback. You got a left-handed quarterback with a cannon for an arm who is a mobile quarterback, can escape pressure. Don't that kind of sound like Michael Vick? I'll talk to you guys later.
Well, Mike, he's not Vick. He doesn't have the running ability of Vick or even close to it. But he is lefty, and he does have the big arm.
I know. Michael Vick threw no touchdowns in college. Actually, they really have nothing in common. Other than the fact, yeah, he's nothing like Jaden Daniels, by the way, came out and said, I want to be the greatest running quarterback in the sports history, even better than Michael Vick. Now, that comparison I totally get, but not Michael Penix.
I just want to underscore Michael Penix in terms of rushing. He had 35 rushing attempts. Is this true for 8 yards?
Yeah, if you take sacks count against your rushing.
Oh, run. Right. Of course, of course. But and the year again, before that, 35 attempts for 92 yards. He's not a runner.
But that being said, Justin Fields didn't run at all at Ohio State. Then he came out and almost set the rookie record for running. I'm actually hopeful. I'm drafting. If Michael Penix was going to get on the field, I was totally going to draft him in fantasy because he is going to run. Unfortunately, he probably won't play.
He's not going to play because Kirk Cousins, if he's healthy, he's playing. Because Kirk was given $100 million, basically. And as Michael Lombardi, who just joined us in the last segment, also said, what's flawed about what the Falcons did here is Cousins has a no-trade clause. So even if you want to say, hey, you know, if Penix gets on the field, he looks great, he develops, we can just flip Kirk for something else. Well, now it's got to be wherever Kirk wants to go.
Absolutely. Can I give you a stat that'll blow your mind?
Yeah.
Guess how many touchdowns Michael Vick through his final year at Virginia Tech.
I mean, it was a different era, but okay.
He had 8 touchdowns and 6 picks.
That's not right.
Yeah, yeah.
How many rushing touchdowns?
Oh, 1,000. Yeah. The year before that, he had 12 touchdowns and 5 picks. Let's see. He ran for, actually, unless I'm reading this wrong, not that many yards, 617 and 585 the season before. It's amazing that he was such a surefire number one pick. Totally different era.
Well, I mean, eye test. John is in Boise. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. So I'm a Packers fan, right?
Yeah.
And first off, I would have loved to see us pick Cooper DeJean, you know, and bolster up our defense based on what the Lions and the Bears are doing. But if we're going to pick a left tackle, I would have much rather them pick Tyler Guyton over Jordan Morgan, because they're talking about putting Morgan in, you know, switching him to guard. And as a Packer fan, I think Rasheed Wallace has done pretty good overall at the left tackle spot.
Okay. I got to think about
Maggie,
this for a second.
Maggie, break down the O-line. I want to hear. Come on, Maggie.
Wait.
Let's get in there. Let's dig in there. Talk
Rasheed
about
Wallace is a better piston.
That's what got me. Wait, is Rasheed Walker for a second? John, no. And listen, do we all know every offensive lineman? When he said Rasheed Wallace, I was like, wait a minute. What? It's Rasheed Walker. Listen, close enough. It's fine.
I wouldn't have known Walker either.
The Pistons team.
I would say 70% of NFL assistant coaches don't know what's going on the offensive line. We sure don't.
Well, it's funny because a long time ago, and I'm not trying to give anyone any ideas, but I did get a call that was trolling, asking about all these fake names on the offensive line, and it was meant to embarrass my co-host at the time, but we sniffed it out immediately, and so I was wondering, I'm like, am I getting trolled again? Like, the last time I saw Rasheed Wallace was, he was cursing about Tobias Harris in a video that went viral online. But here, let's answer the question seriously, because you made the call, John. We appreciate that. I honestly can't tell you that I know one guy is actually going to be any better than the other guy, but I understand using a first round pick sometimes on guards. You know, centers and tackles, you get a little bit more excited about. Guards sometimes can be a little underwhelming for a first round pick.
Yeah. Good
there
job.
There you go.
And good, yeah.
Like from our
that
very...
was just a waste of 30 seconds, by the way.
I just tried to give him a little something.
Why are you trying to give him something? Just admit, you're the one who famously said, O-line, just get up there and push guys around. Just stick with that, Maggie.
I did that. I said that, and I got death threats for it, so I'm never going to say that again.
But it is weird, though, every time they break down an offensive lineman, especially felt like last night, they're like, well, he played right tackle. Maybe he'll play left, or we'll go inside. Like, it's just like... If you had a wide receiver, like, well, I think he's a wide receiver, but if not,
wait. You're saying one wide receiver, he lines up on the left, so he can't line up on the right? You can move an offensive lineman around easily.
All five offensive line positions are different positions.
Barely.
No, but there is still a differential.
To quote my friend Maggie Gray, you just get up there and push the other guy around.
I said that in jest.
Some guys are right tackles. Some guys are left tackles. Some guys can't snap the ball. Some guys can. They're not all interchangeable.
There's a reason why usually, in terms of book smarts, the smartest guys on the team are usually on the offensive line.
Yeah, but I think there's a trend that you can move guys around. I'm being totally
honest.
No,
I'll be honest. Clearly, it's happening. It's just odd that when there are guys in the first round. Like, I want you to tell me that he's a left tackle. Don't tell me he's a left tackle, but maybe you'll have to play right tackle because that position is a little less valuable
than
left tackle.
There is no difference between left tackle and right tackle.
I mean, there is.
I think there's a preference. I think that guys have a preference. But here's the thing, right? When your team, say you're rooting for a team and the offensive line is having one of those years where it's just injury after injury, and you hear, here's our swing tackle, which is like,
you never want to hear that.
Oh, no. This is not, things are going wrong.
You're telling me that the Chargers made a mistake taking Joe Alt because he played left tackle at Notre Dame and he's going to play right tackle in L.A.? Of course not.
I think taking a left tackle at number five makes a little bit more sense than taking a right tackle at number five.
Well, he's playing right tackle.
I know.
But I think there's a difference, though, with Joe Alt. Typically, left tackles are better. So him going to the right side is like, okay, well, this guy is we have a good left tackle. He can play the right side, just like we saw with Penei Sewell. They already had left tackle in Decker, so they moved him over. But he was an elite prospect. The guys that are right tackles, they're saying, hey, let's put him on the left side, where typically that's the blind side, a better pass rusher. That's a little more worrisome. Or saying, hey, we'll just throw him on any side and see if he's good.
Yeah. Or even sides of guard where he can be fatter and slower. Like, that's not helpful either.
Move their pass rushers over to the other side, too. So the right tackles become way more important because the Von Millers are coming off the other side now, where they move Micah around to get him on the right tackle. And also, there's lefty quarterbacks abounding. I totally don't agree with you guys, but maybe I'm wrong.
Let's get to the headlines. Bogush is here. He's got all the latest. What's up?
If you had over 4.5 QBs taken last night, you hit pretty quickly with number 5 coming on the 10th pick when the Vikings traded up for J.J. McCarthy, and then the Broncos tacked on Bo Nix for good measure at number 12. If you had the under, enjoy your Pete drills. Before the Falcons went heel and took Michael Penix 8th, our focus was on J.J. McCarthy, who would take him and who would be trading up to do it. As you just heard, it was the Vikings Once McCarthy passed number six, they pounced, swapping spots with the Jets to make him their selection. And here's his new head coach, Kevin O'Connell.
Hopefully, as excited as our fans are, they can know that J.J. McCarthy really wanted to be a Minnesota Viking, and he cannot wait to get here and get to work.
The Vikings made a second move last night to get Alabama edge rusher Dallas Turner at number 17, while the Bears stayed put at number 9 and added Washington wideout Roma Dunze to Caleb Williams, their GM Ryan Poles.
If you told me we would end up with both Caleb and Rome weeks ago, I would have said you were crazy. But they were two guys that obviously we were really excited to have.
Those two picks, part of a record-setting 14 consecutive offensive players taken to start round one, 23 offensive picks is also a first-round record.
Did you guys agree? Michael Lombardi just joined us earlier in the hour. He said this was the Roma Dunze pick was, I think he basically was saying it's redundant. Like, how many wide receivers do you need?
He would use the word luxury. Yeah. I totally agree. I think all three first-round pick, top 10 wide receiver picks landed in the wrong spots.
Really?
Oh, my God. There's no way. How is Roma Dunze going to get numbers? Malik Davis has Daniel Jones throwing to him, and Marvin Harrison's stuck in this weird situation in Arizona with everything going on there. I guarantee there are going to be other receivers to make. I mean, look at last year. Puka Nacua was a fifth-round pick and almost set the record for rookie yards. Maggie, you are going to get a star receiver for the Bills.
Wait,
there's going to be 8 second-round wide receivers, and they're going to outproduce these first-round
guys.
Can
I just, like, disagree with you a little bit on every single one?
Yeah.
I mean, Marvin Harrison, if Kyler Murray is healthy, you are going to be able to get him the ball. He changes their offense and makes them way more relevant. If Daniel Jones is healthy, Malik Nabers is going to put up big numbers because he's going to be the only person that he's throwing to. And Roma Dunze, this is exactly what teams and fans want when they say don't put a rookie quarterback in a position where they're going to, you know, fail. You've got Keenan Allen, but he's an older wide receiver. So why wouldn't you let him, you know, learn for a year, basically, and then he takes over?
Well, I think Roma Dunze is ready to go. I'm just saying he's not going to have big numbers this year.
Well, but that's only 1 year. I feel like you can't get caught up in what do your numbers look like year one on a rookie receiver.
The Cardinals. You're so confident in this Cardinals thing. The head coach is Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah.
Anyone without looking it up, name their offensive coordinator. Drew Petzing.
That's where he landed.
What are you talking about? Who's Drew Petzing? I mean, this is a tough. The Cardinals have a lot of history. It does feel like he's going to be Larry Fitzgerald. He'll never have a good system around him. Maybe he's that good. But it does feel, and like, listen, if you look at all the top receivers, most of them were not top picks. They were all Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams. Go down the list. You get guys later. I'm telling you, and I only
Why say do you this, keep brushing past Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson in this conversation?
Because I looked at it, of the top 15 receivers, 11 were taken after the top 20 picks.
Top 15 in what? Receiving yards last year?
Yeah, receiving yards. Like, they're all later round guys. That's
so
where you get them.
So, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is the problem with the Cardinals or being the fourth pick?
He went to the wrong place.
Okay, but he should have been picked where he was.
No, he's
wise.
Awesome.
Right.
But he's not good.
It's a team that can't maximize him, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, if you're a Marvin Harrison Jr. fan, that's the last place you want him to go.
Okay,
right?
but that's a different argument than saying don't take a wide receiver in the first round.
I think
he's it's a bad spot for him, not don't use your fourth pick on a wide receiver.
I don't think they should have taken him there. I think they should have traded out and filled everything else.
I think they were trying, but I think it was the J.J. McCarthy market. Once people realized somehow that the Giants were not taking J.J. McCarthy, everything changed.
Yeah.
What else you got, Boogs?
I'm sorry,
Carl, were you about to say something?
Let me just give you top 5 receivers. Tyreek Hill, 5th round. CeeDee Lamb, 18. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4th round. Puka Nacua, 5th round. A.J. Brown, 2nd round.
Moore, Ayuk, 1st round picks. Mike Evans, 9.
Where did Nico Collins go? What round was he, buddy?
1st round pick.
I knew you had that. Stephon Diggs, Michael Pittman, Devontae Adams, George Pickens.
Like, about half of those guys are first round picks.
Yeah.
And some of them dropped for different reasons.
Wait, who?
Like Tyreek Hill was a
CeeDee Lamb, DJ
well, the guys
Moore,
I just said.
Ayuk, Evans, Cooper.
Right. And Justin
Chase.
Jefferson was hurt, and Jamar Chase
hurt.
Didn't have Joe Burrow.
Right.
So those two guys would be further up the list.
Right.
Just saying, there are a lot of stars in the second round.
I agree that the Cardinals could have used a different player at 4, but Marvin Harrison Jr. deserved to be the fourth pick in that draft last
night. It's
a new
running back position. Just don't draft wide receivers high.
The day that A.J. Brown was right. traded, he's like, why would they do that? It's the new running back. And meanwhile, the Eagles just doubled down and gave A.J. Brown basically, you know, he's the mayor of Philly
second round pick.
He was a part of West Philly now.
He's getting paid like he's one of the top players in the NFL, period. What else we got?
Let's stay in Philadelphia. Knicks and Sixers last night and Joel Embiid's takedown of Mitchell Robinson. Apparently, Sixers head coach Nick Nurse doesn't know what we're talking about.
Sorry, I didn't see it. So
no,
get some new glasses for us.
No, he didn't. He said he didn't see it. No,
well, with the big smirk on his face too. This is the thing, right? I didn't see it.
Got it.
Okay,
got it.
Coach.
Okay. Well, they didn't see you calling timeout, so I guess we're all even. Right.
Embiid given a flagrant one in the first quarter after review for grabbing Robinson's leg as he jumped for a lay-in. Robinson fell, re-injured his left ankle, did not return after halftime. Embiid went on to score 50 on just 19 shots. Yes, Pete?
Sorry. I like to think that they think the equivalent of the bad calls that were made in game two is basically taking out a player in game three. That's what basically Nick Nurse is saying. So enough of Nick Nurse and enough of the Sixers and enough of all this nonsense that happened in game three. And let's move on to game four where it'll be a 3-1 lead.
Well, good question there from Michael Lombardi. Flaming hot takes there from Pete about whether Embiid's going to get suspended for the next game.
I think zero chance.
Oh, they need to.
He should.
Should have been ejected.
Yeah, he should.
When Draymond stepped on Sabonis, I know it's a little bit different. But it was like someone, it was actually totally different. But anyway, Draymond got suspended.
And I bet they're like the NFL where they have like a table of what your fines can be. So even if they were to fine him, it's probably going to be $7, not like anything that looks like actual punishment.
Yeah, it's going to be a joke. It's going to be a joke.
Yeah, like the NHL is good on that. It's like he's got fined $5,000, the most allowed by the CBA for gouging out an eye with a stick.
You know what's funny about the NHL though? Isn't it right that if a guy misses games, you injure him? Like you have to then take some of those games that he would have missed?
They thought about that when they had a string of like stick assaults,
right. Like an eye for an eye kind of thing.
Yeah, and that there's no way because then you have got teams who are like, oh, we'll just if it's an uneven trade, like okay, we'll keep our fourth line guy out because your first line guy hurt him.
I just think it's crazy that Mitchell Robinson may miss games now.
Yeah.
Because of this goon.
Should have been ejected for sure. What else we got?
So the Sixers they win that game 125-114, now down 2-1 in that series until, again, apparently they lose game four and fall behind 3-1. The Magic got their first win against the Cavs 121-82 in game three in Orlando, but the Lakers are in an 0-3 hole, losing at home to the Nuggets 112-105. Denver can sweep LA for the second straight postseason this weekend. The Hurricanes are now 8-1 in the Islanders' new building thanks to last night's 3-2 final, and the Panthers won in Tampa Bay 5-3. Carolina and Florida have 3-0 leads. The A's held off the Yankees 3-1 in the only night game yesterday. They split 4 in the Bronx. And Seton Hall star guard Kadari Richmond is now in the transfer portal. He's probably the best player available currently, and he's being linked already to St. John's. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, we do our winners and losers from last night. Perloff and I have got our list ready, and we want to hear from you. Still time, 855-212-4227. What did you think of your team's first round strategy? Who they picked, who they didn't pick? You're welcome to weigh in. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move. Welcome back. Well, it was the Falcons who had the surprise of the draft last night. They took Michael Penix Jr. 8, even though they've already committed $100 million to Kirk Cousins. Here's more from Diana Rossini reporting this morning. Michael Penix Jr. did not take a top 30 visit to Flowery Branch, to the Falcons. The Falcons only attended a 45-minute workout and met with him at the combine, and that's usually, 15 minutes, those combine interviews. She goes on to say, it's almost unheard of for a quarterback taken in the first round to not be on a team's top 30. In the end, Atlanta felt comfortable with the work they did.
Yeah, I think they're hiding him. Because if everyone knew that Atlanta was taking him at 8, I don't know how people did know that, like Schefter and Rappaport, the insiders. If they knew, then clearly it seems like the Raiders might have jumped them. Because what are the Raiders doing? If Michael Penix, does he look like he should be a Raiders quarterback?
Definitely. I mean,
I don't know why. I feel like big arm, lefty, just feels like a Raider.
This is one of the three bets I lost last night. All three bets I made, I lost all of them. Ooh. I made a bet for you because you can't bet $5. In New York. And I can bet in New Jersey. Your bet also lost.
So. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
An offer across the board on the bets, and one of them was Michael Penix going to the Raiders. That was an exact.
Oh.
Lost out on that one. Lost out. I thought Bo Nix would not be drafted in the first round. Lost on that one, and I thought J.C. Latham would be drafted by the Chargers, and instead they went with Joe Alt, the other offensive lineman.
Oh, that one felt like a coin flip. Like, that could have gone either way.
As my $3 down the drain.
Oh, well.
And your emotional hedge bet lost, too, with the quarterback.
But we all should be excited about that loss, because that means E.J. Stewart is running gassers with Pipilotti holding the whistle.
Well, and he's going to be doing some of Pete's middle school football workout drills.
Get him up.
Oh man, it will be quick. EJ will be fast. You're gonna make it.
It sucks that I gotta pay for these idiot general managers not knowing how to run a football team.
I offered my services to general managers to be a free general manager for a year. So some of these NFL GMs that need some services, they can call me.
That's like Larry David keeps on saying in interviews. He wants to be the offensive coordinator of the Jets.
Or apparently calls their front office all the time with suggestions. I mean, can you imagine fielding that phone call with Joe Douglas? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Okay, let's do winners and losers from last night. We got one each. One winner, one loser. You want to start with a winner, Pearl?
Okay. First of all, I think there are a lot of winners, and this is going to be my symbolic winner. The Colts getting Latu, the defensive end out of UCLA. The defensive guys fell. They were so psyched. Rich Eisen had a funny line. He said, Chris Ballard came on and said, if six quarterbacks go before me, I will come on your show every day if you want. Because it was an incredible run of luck that all these defensive guys fell. Latu is amazing. He's got medical issues, but he's going to be a star. So I've been saying the Colts, but everybody who got a defensive player after that, it's like, oh my God, we just got Christmas in April.
Man, I got the biggest winner off the field was Belichick, without a doubt. Him on the Pat McAfee show, he's breaking down these strengths and weaknesses, and actually did tell us some weaknesses of these first round quarterbacks, which you rarely get on draft night analysis. And he is going to follow in the footsteps of every other coach who takes a year off to go do media. They're going to become way more sought after, and Belichick will be back in coaching. On the field, winners, I think the second three quarterbacks who were taken, because they're going into some really good situations, at least on the outside. Now, I'm a little lower on this quarterback draft class than you, Perloff, but if I'm Penix, and if I'm Nix, and if I'm McCarthy, I actually like the situations better for the second three, if you will, rather than Caleb and Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I think the second three quarterbacks landed in better spots. The teams are a little bit filled out, maybe except for the Bears, but that would be my other winners.
Well, except that you kind of worry that you just named two franchises that have no idea what they're doing. Denver has made nothing but mistakes for five straight years.
That's true.
And Atlanta is even worse.
Yep.
So you just worry. Yes, you can look at the names around them and say, so I kind of worry about those situations. I worry about the Denver GM. But that being said,
Sean Payton made this pick, but yeah.
Yeah, you made I just worry about what he's going to put around Bo Nix and just all the decisions they made.
Losers.
Loser to me, I just said, I think the Raiders not getting a quarterback. I think they're shocked. I think they had no idea what hit them. I think getting Brock Bowers at 13, maybe that'll work out great. He could be a Pro Bowler. Even if he is a Pro Bowler, none of it matters. If you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing. This is obviously a draft to get a quarterback, and they just sort of missed the party.
And you're so right about that. Actually, another winner, Gardner Minshew, because it looks like he's going to be starting. Daniel Jones, too, another winner. Losers for me, the Patriots, because that Brandon Ayuk trade seems like it fell apart. Now, there's still a chance that they could rebound and get Ayuk again. But I think you need more here for Drake May. I get that it's a rebuilding and you can find wide receivers in the draft, but you've got a pretty good salary cap situation. You've got some money here. I was excited for the Patriots when I saw that they were possibly in for Ayuk, and then it fell apart. So I think that's a loser. Also, well, Josh Allen, but we'll see. We'll see what the Bills can do for him in day two.
Okay, you can't really count out the Bills yet. They haven't even made a pick yet.
You want to tell us who we should be on the lookout for today.
Okay. It's not today. He's not going today. But in my logic is simple, and it is foolproof. Luke McCaffrey is slotted to go in the fourth or fifth round. So this is Christian's little brother, who was a quarterback in Nebraska, transferred to Rice, became a receiver. Bloodlines. Is there any way this kid is not tough as nails? And also, he's going to be in the new kick return position. I say, nobody knows. He's sort of a receiver, sort of a running back. Perfect for this. I feel like if you could get a McCaffrey, his dad was awesome. His brother was awesome. It's like the Watts. This guy has to be good.
And there is a Watt that's not great, though, right? Isn't there?
Oh, Derek Watt?
Derek,
he's a very efficient fullback. But, I mean, listen, if you don't know anything, all this is guesswork. If you're going to guess, get that last name, right? Don't you agree with this logic?
Sure. I mean, why not? Wasn't Marvin Harrison, I think, was the 10th father-son duo to be drafted, like a Hall of Fame dad and then a first-round pick son?
Sure, why not?
Like,
when Luke McCaffrey is running in touchdowns next year, I'm going to remind you of your lukewarm reception. Also, Ladd McConkey, who a lot of people thought would go to the Niners. I mean, if the Bills walked away with Ladd McConkey, whoa.
There's a lot of talent still left on the board. You know, there was an idea that there was a big talent drop-off or something after, like, the first 15 picks in this draft. That report came out yesterday. I don't see it.
Well, everyone said the wide receivers were particularly deep. I saw a mock draft on ESPN had 9 wide receivers go in the second round, including Malachi Corley, who everyone's high on. This is going to be a pretty fun second and third day because a lot of offense still. And then they say by the 6th round, there's nobody left to draft. It's NIL. But,
right.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm excited. Day 2 and day 3. It's your big day tonight, Maggie. I got to check you out on social media yelling at the TV.
Be nice and liquored up. Just kidding. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Pete Pilotti. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Callers today, you guys were out of control. You were awesome. Thank you to the Weedos and the coffee drinkers. Phenomenal. Just all week. Such great shows. Thank you so much.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.